your mind if you've got a mind. Speak your mind if you've got a mind. Speak your mind if you've got some, give it right now. Speak your mind if you've got a mind. Speak your mind if you've got a mind. Speak your mind if you've got some, give it right now. Everywhere you look, things are in a mess somehow. There's never been a better time to talk about it than right now. So don't you worry in your bed at night about something that just ain't right. Why don't you get up, come on, get up, come on, speak your mind. Your mind, yeah, yeah. Speak your mind if you've got a mind. Speak your mind if you've got a mind. Speak your mind if you've got something, give it right now. Any little word can be like a key to a lock. You could be the one to turn a phrase and make the whole world rock. So don't you keep it all to yourself, like a dusty book on a shelf. Why don't you get up, come on, get up, come on, speak your mind. Winter time is tough enough. My shack burned down and I lost my stuff. I got nothing to lose. I'm singing and talking blues. I search these ashes, couldn't find anything. I may go south, I may be back in the spring. Whatever I choose, I'm singing and talking blues. Through the wind, I saw my piano on fire. In the morning, there was nothing but black and white. Snap my fingers to keep it beat. My guitar's gone, and I'm out on the street. I got one pair of shoes. I'm singing the talking blues. Fire trucks parked on my lawn. Tried to save my house, and now the lawn is gone. I got more I can use. I'm singing the talking blues. Deep will fade. Don't worry, it'll be alright. I look around and I wonder where they are tonight. Yeah, and I make my bed under the stars. I cast my thumb to the passing cars down on the highway I cruise, singing the talking blues. Singing the talking blues, yeah, yeah.
Singing the talking blues.
Oh, my, will I'm singing and talking the road. I'm singing and talking the highway. I'm singing and talking the drive. I'm singing and talking the selfie. That shack was hotter than a habanero. The piano was hot. That shack was hotter than a habanero. The piano was hot. That shack was hotter than a habanero. The piano was hot. Hey, la, la, la. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, la, la, la. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, la, la, la. Singing the talking blues.
And hello, world. This is Matt Kramer, live from Ordinary Miracles. And my partner, Jan Sircone, is out enjoying the holiday festivities with her family. The music you were listening to was the music of Dennis McGregor. And Dennis is going to be our guest. He'll be coming on in about 5 or 10 minutes or whenever I get tired of talking. So if you folks who are new listening in, this is a radio show ostensibly about the elements of sound and frequency and how they work with healing. And we often have healers on. They may be folks who do toning or work with other forms of frequency work. And they may be musicians. And tonight we have a musical show. So I'm talking to you from a little store called Ordinary Miracles, a little town called Cotati, California, about an hour north of San Francisco. And for those of you that want to know more about Jan does something called Voice Bio, and that uses the frequencies in your voice and assesses those frequencies and lets you know physiologically how they represent elements in your health. And you can learn more about Jan's work at musicforjoyandhealing.com. That's musicforjoyandhealing.com. And my place in the spectrum, I do something called voice mapping. And voice mapping uses the biofeedback process, using the frequencies in your voice, feeding those frequencies back to you, which helps stimulate places of buried stress and trauma. And by releasing that, helps release stress you may not realize you've been carrying all your life and how that's been impacting you. So any more questions about that, you can go to mattkramer.com, MattKramer.com, MattKramer.com. And that's probably enough out of me for now. What I'd like to do is introduce our guest for tonight. I first met him back in the early 70s. He was newly arrived in Hollywood, California from the wilds of Utah. He was with a band that was very ahead of its time. I was reviewing it a little bit. Somewhere it was called kind of a acid jazz swing band. And after his Hollywood adventures ended, he wound up becoming a graphic artist and eventually moving up to a beautiful little town called Sisters, Oregon. And he's done album covers and posters and all kinds of book covers. Just finished a book cover for me, but that's another radio show that we'll talk about one of these days. And tonight, he had to take a break from building a house with his own bare hands to come out of the cold and do this radio show. So, Dennis, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Dennis.
Good listening to you.
Well, thank you much. So, this was one guest I didn't have to do a lot of research on, since I guess we've known each other for over 30 years.
We can't pretend that we have not, because we have, and we've been through a lot of things together. Even though we go for years without seeing each other, we always sort of run into each other again and have more good times and become influenced somehow by one another and You've been a special person in my life, Matt.
Well, that goes both ways. I've traveled many miles to see Dennis perform. And keeping in touch with the sort of the healing elements of our show, I thought I would start asking you a story, to tell us a story. About most people are good. Is that the one about your bike accident?
Well, actually, no, it's not. Most People Are Good is a song that I started writing the day I heard George Bush say on the news that he was giving Saddam Hussein 48 hours to get out of the country, or else we were going to come in there. And I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. And so that was basically my feeling about a war that was beginning that I thought would maybe last a few months.
Like the first one.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought the song, I didn't know if it was worth putting that much energy into it because I thought it wouldn't have that long of a shelf life. And I'm very sorry to say that it still applies after all these years. But you mentioned the accident that I had. I actually wrote a song for my community here called Angels in This Town.
That's right.
I didn't record it, though.
You haven't recorded it?
No, I never did.
We'll have to get you to do it live.
I sort of... I don't even think I remember it now. But it was definitely a song that came about for a very exact purpose.
Why don't you tell that story?
Okay, well, I was... this was 4 years ago. I had just started going to our local gym. It was brand new. And thinking I didn't really want to go to a gym, but I started to, and right away I fell into this spin class, which is sitting on a bike that doesn't go anywhere and pedaling frantically until you work up a good sweat, listening to music and stuff. I got into that for a while, and then these folks in the class persuaded me to get on a real bike and go for an annual ride where they go up our McKenzie Pass, which is closed throughout the winter due to snow. And the last day that it's still closed to cars, they go on a bike ride up there. And it's quite a climb and beautiful country. And so they loaned me a bike and a helmet, and I agreed to go. And much to my surprise, I made it up the mountain pretty darn easily. And when it was time to come back down, I was in a group of about 30 or 40 other cyclists. I just started, and I hadn't been on a bike for maybe 30 or 40 years, you know, since I was a kid riding my 10-speed around. And I was just having a blast, and I started coming down the mountain, and I was going really fast. And there was a hairpin curve at the bottom of the mountain. And I wasn't quite ready for it, and I was probably going about 40. And I looked up, and there it was. And that was the last thing I remembered. And I was taken to the hospital in Bend by a helicopter.
You didn't even remember that?
Which I don't remember. In fact, when they told me in the hospital that I was insisting that I had not been on a helicopter, then they brought me the newspaper, and there was a picture of me on the front page being loaded into the thing. And so I had a helicopter ride, but I had a concussion and broken collarbone and broken ribs and a punctured lung and pretty well beat up. And I spent a week in the hospital, and then I... spent a week at my parents' house, who lived in Bend. And then when I finally came back to my place, I couldn't drive a car yet, but I got a ride back, and then I found out that the community was having a fundraising party for me. And I went to that kind of awkwardly, and it was an amazing thing. There were many, many people there, and the artists and other folks had donated items to be auctioned off. and all my musician friends were playing. And they raised about $15,000 to help me with my medical bills. And
like many artists, you were lacking insurance?
Yeah, I was a little shy on insurance. But it was an amazing experience, and part of me said, like, well, I didn't ask for this, you know, you shouldn't be doing this, but how can you say no, and it's amazing. But,
And how does this community know you so well? What can you say about Sisters?
Well, it's a small town, and I had been here for about 18 years at that time. And I do a lot of posters for events that we have here, rodeo and quilt show and folk festival and other things. So even though I'm a commercial artist and my work doesn't normally go in galleries, it's very visible because there'd be posters plastered everywhere on a regular basis. So people knew me that way. They also knew me as a musician. I played with a group called the Blue Darts at that time, and we played a lot around. And I raised my twin daughters here. They went through the school system, and, you know, I was pretty well involved in the community.
And what's the population up there?
Well, there's about 1,700 in the town now. In the surrounding area, outside the city limits, there's probably more like 10,000, something like that.
Okay, well, that's a significant amount of money to raise in such a small town.
Yeah, I thought so, too. It was kind of surprising.
Do you remember the words of the song yet?
The words, well, yeah, it went something like, if I took a fall from a high place, I would want to land on this town. Because like a feather bed or a pillow in its case, it would be a soft place to come down. Shoot, man, I can't just spout them off at the moment.
Okay.
I'd have to look them up.
Well, since we mentioned that other song, or is there a song you'd like to do? And we can pull one off the CD or...
Well, I had to tell you one last thought about this accident thing.
Okay.
Which is kind of funny to me because people opened a bank account for me and started putting money in there. And although I know who some of the people are who gave me things and cash gifts, I don't know who many of them are to this day. And it sort of had an effect on me, which is, ironically, it kind of forced me into becoming a better person. Because as you walk around a small town, you hold the door for someone at the post office or whatever, I would never know. Perhaps this person is one of the people who gave me money, you know?
Right.
So I have to smile and be kind and gracious to virtually every person I run into, which is kind of a lot of work and kind of a conscious effort, but then I'll be damned if it didn't start making me just feel a little better about myself, knowing that I was being nice to everybody. And then it sort of comes back to you again, because people treat you nicely when you treat them nicely. So, yeah, pretty amazing effect, actually.
Well, I think you're being awfully modest. I've never known you not to be a nice guy, Dennis.
Ah, shucks. Well, sometimes you just want to go about your business and not look up and smile and talk to people, you know. But now, you know, people sort of call me the mayor.
But,
and the other thing I wanted to point out that I find really interesting, since we're talking about health, is even immediately after the accident, even though I couldn't do many things, I found that I could still play my guitar. And I could just kind of prop my arm over the guitar, and I could still play. So I wrote a lot of songs in bed or lying on a lounge chair on my porch for about a month and a half when I couldn't do a lot of other things.
And you hadn't been songwriting for a long time, I don't think.
Well, that's when I really started writing more. That was about all I could do. I couldn't draw or paint. And so I sort of had this explosion of songwriting. Then, about 2 years later, after being all healed up and everything, I met this wonderful woman who I started getting to know. And one night we were at a party at a friend's house, and it was wintertime, and the bridge over the creek they have to take to get to his house was covered with snow and ice, and she was nervous about driving her truck across at the end of the night, so she accepted a ride with me.
Uh-huh.
And she came to my house, and it was the first night that we spent a night together. And I fell asleep with my arm around her, and actually she fell asleep while I was still awake, and I didn't want to pull my arm out from under her because not only did it feel good, but I didn't want to wake her up, so I just stayed there. And when we got up in the morning, I knew something was kind of screwed up in my arm and my shoulder, and then it started really hurting for about a week, and I started going to doctors and chiropractors and acupuncturists, and the pain in my shoulder sort of went away, but my hand was left numb and totally weak. And apparently I had done some nerve damage somewhere in my arm. And so now I couldn't play guitar at all. And that lasted for months.
Wow.
And so it was just kind of ironic that a violent accident could still permit that kind of activity, and then one loving night could have that kind of effect.
Reminds me a little bit, you know, the story of the emperor and the kitten.
No.
I can't remember if it was China or Japan, but there's some famous story about an emperor who is wearing his very expensive outfit, and the kitten falls asleep on the sleeve, and rather than wake the kitten up, he cuts the sleeve off. Of course, you didn't have that option, I don't think.
Well, anyway, it was worth it. We are building a house together, just finishing it up right now. And she's my partner now, a fellow artist. And
your arm's okay?
Yeah, it took like almost a year to finally get full use of it back. And this last CD that I recorded, Front Porch to the Moon, most of that happened during this time when my hand was still healing and I could barely play. And so I had to kind of relearn how to play some chords, and I had to abandon playing a lot of bar chords because my index finger had no strength at all. And so it was kind of an interesting thing. I have this whole album of music that was kind of influenced by that one night accident, if you want to call it that. And
so you would
finally have full use of it back, but it took a long time.
So you used a health challenge to your advantage in a number of different ways.
It's kind of funny because I would think about Django Reinhardt.
Uh-huh.
Not that I can play like that, or not that I have that kind of disability, but when I found that I couldn't play certain chords, I found that if I eliminated my index finger and restructured them with my other three fingers and did things like that, that I could get by. And then after playing that way for weeks and months, that became natural to me. And so I had kind of a new way to play a lot of things that I still use now that I never would have stumbled upon. But I used to think, I guess if you came down to a choice of playing or not playing at all, you have to figure out how to do whatever you can. And I really did think about Django Reinhardt and think how amazing that was that guy could play the way he did.
And he invented that.
Pretty incredible.
Do you have a favorite song that came out of that period?
Well, one that I kind of, that symbolizes that period for me is called She Lives on Tears.
Uh-huh. Track number 7 on Front Porch to the Moon.
Mm-hmm. Because I could only play a G chord and an E minor at the very first after the accident. And so that's when I wrote that song. And they were like the chords that I learned when I was in junior high school, just first starting out. And I probably wouldn't have done that if I could have played normally, but since that's all I could do, this song came out of it. And I really like the song. The song is about this this woman I know. I was talking to her one day, and she was having a really rough time that winter. And everything was going wrong, and she was telling me all about it. And suddenly I noticed a tear came rolling out of her eye and was running down her cheek. And she wasn't making any sounds or grimacing or anything. She was just talking calmly, but a tear was flowing. And I watched it roll down her face, and as it got just about even with her mouth, she reached up with her index finger and kind of wiped it off her face and then licked it with her tongue off of her finger. And just did that in a motion without even skipping a beat and kept talking. A moment later, another tear rolled down, and she did the same thing. And I was thinking, that's weird. I've never seen anyone do that before. And so that's where I got She Lives on Tears. And that's where the song came from.
Okay, Seth, are you there? I wonder if you can put on that track 7 on Front Porch to the Moon. And before he does that, those of you who are listening, you're watching your computer screen, maybe you can see that Dennis's web address there, dennismcgregor.com, if you want to go and see some of his artwork and read more about him. Okay, so let's see if Seth is there. Or I may have to call him on another line.
Maybe we put him to sleep.
Could be. They do a lot of work, those guys, running that station. Okay. Well, while I'm looking for his number, because I can't talk to you and look for a number at the same time, do you have any other thoughts or stories about a connection between music and healing?
Well, in Bend, Oregon, there's a concert promoter who a while ago had cancer, and that changed his life considerably. And while he was spending time in the chemo ward getting his chemotherapy treatments, he thought it was such a grotesque, miserable experience that he thought it would sure be nice if someone were playing music while you're sitting there. So he had some of his musician friends that would come by and play music, and that started a program that he still administers, where he gets local musicians to volunteer and go into the chemo ward and play to these patients. And it's just kind of an interesting thing. I've done it a half dozen times, and I don't really feel that I have material that's totally designed for that or even appropriate for it. In fact, sometimes I find myself singing a song without thinking about it. Like one of my songs that says, "Everybody's having fun but me." And I'm sitting here and everyone else is hooked up to tubes and going through this horrible experience. But nevertheless, I connected with people in there. And so they say music helps during that treatment.
Okay. I like that. So Seth is ready to roll. You there, Seth? And he's going to play She Lives on Tears.
She can't afford the water. She can't afford the wood. She's just a poor man's daughter. And he would help her if he could. She can't keep up with the gasoline, let alone her old red truck. She's broken down in a place between her destiny and luck. She lives on tears, the worst winter in years. And she thank you. good man. At least he thought he was. He took her loving away, he ran like every good man does. And she lives on tears, the worst winter in years. And she lives on tears. She can't.
I do love that song. So, Dennis, tell us a bit about the Sisters Folk Festival.
Well, that's one of my favorite events we have in our little town. And it happens in September, second weekend in September. And it's been around for about 12 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's grown into quite a respectable little folk festival. And we're getting lots of great artists. And the word we get over and over from artists who are booked and come here from around the country is that they like the feeling of how relaxed it is and being in a small town, the venues are all located in the town, and you walk from a tent, to a bar, to another venue, and back and forth, up and down the streets of the little town. And everybody supports it, of course, because, you know, it's a tourist town, and this is yet another of many events that attract tourists to our area. But it's a really cool, it's a cool event, and it's preceded by a three-day songwriting camp that happens at a very beautiful camp up in the mountains, about a half hour from Sisters.
And some of the same people that perform at the Folk Festival are actually teaching songwriting in the song camp.
Yep. So, and that's grown hugely over the years, too. From the first year, there were 12 students. This last year, there were close to 80.
Wow.
With 13 instructors. And, you know, it's pretty cool to be able to sit and hang out with people like Eliza Gyolkison, or Ruthie Foster, or John Gorka, or, you know, Harry Manx. I mean, on and on, all the folks who perform in the festival pretty much go up there and teach a class or two or stay for the full 3 days. So that's one of my favorite things.
You know, I realize we have folks listening from actually all around the world that may not know where Sisters Oregon is.
Sisters is right in the middle of the state of Oregon, and it's just on the east side of the Cascade Range, which is the drier side.
It's high desert.
High desert plateau, right on the edge of the mountains. So we have ponderosa pines and juniper trees, and the further you go east, the more you kind of go out into the desert. And
one thing I like about the festival is, like, you only sell about 1,500 tickets.
Yep, it's small because it can only hold so many. And, you know, like anything that's successful, it wants to grow, but we wrestle with that problem because there's really nowhere for it to go. It needs to stay small. So we've just had to be kind of creative on how to keep it vital and have it grow in quality, you know, but with a small audience.
And I think a lot of people may not have a clear understanding of what folk music is these days. It's rather broad.
It is region. Broad. We've had, you know, acts like the Subdudes, which probably are more like a rock and roll band than a folk group.
Bit of a New Orleans feel.
Mm-hmm. But they definitely are part of the Americana roots genre of music, which is very broad. You know, I think it's like it goes all the way right next door to jazz, and kind of bleeds over. I mean, these are all musical forms that evolved in America, and they borrow from one another and all that. But, you know, folk, it's vital. There are a lot of people that want to hear the old-time folk music, like from the revival of the 60s, and there's a touch of that. But it's so much more than that these days. And, of course, it includes bluegrass and string band music, a lot of singer-songwriters.
I still remember the second time I went to the Folk Festival, saw the Bills.
What a group, huh?
Group out of Canada. It's a blend of, well, it's some bluegrass, it's some Cajun, it's some French, it's classical, it's jazz.
Yeah. That's how music ought to be, don't you think?
Well, that is what it is.
The barriers and mix it all up. It all goes so well together.
Yeah. Talk about Front Porch to the Moon.
Well, that song started one day when I was working out on my land. I live on 5 acres here, and sometimes it's very quiet, totally quiet, where you're out there kind of lost and in space, working on the land, and one day I heard a sound that made me jump, and then I realized it was a pine cone falling from a tree, and just that little sound was so big sounding at that moment that it was enough to make me jump. And then I felt kind of silly looking around and realized nobody was there. And then I became acutely aware of the sound a pine cone makes when it falls after that. And that's what led to the song. But the song basically is about no matter how much an area becomes developed and how it encroaches upon the space you have, you think you can enjoy forever, and then next thing you know, there's a neighborhood built next door to you. No matter what happens, you'll always have your view of the night sky looking up at the moon from your porch. I guess that's a vertical view, and can't really take that away. So that's kind of where the song ended up, with that sentiment, from the front porch to the moon is mine, all mine.
I love your painting on your CD that shows that in great perspective. So, Seth, are you there? I'd like to roll this track. I may have to call him on the other line again.
In the summer, in the country, on a cool, dark night, the wind rocks the treetops, cross twinkling lights, and the silence is broken, but only now and then you know something will happen, but you don't want no when. And that's the sound of a pine cone falling through the branches and the needles on its way to the ground, and the song of a nightbird is calling when you think it's all gone, it comes right back around, and you can stay. And the neighbors move closer all the time, but from the front porch to the moon is mine, all mine. From the front porch to the moon is mine, all mine. And there's a corner of the county that no one cares about, where the sky goes forever and every star comes out, and I sit back and I listen with my eyes shut. I think I hear something, but I ain't sure what. That's the sound of ice cubes melting around the bottles in the cooler at the end of the day. A best feeling that I have felt in the time since the last time I felt. Stay up all night, but you can't count them all, and you'll never know which star's next to fall. And the neighbors moving closer all the time, but from the front porch to the moon is mine, oh mine. From the front porch to the moon is mine, oh mine.
God, I love being a DJ. Well, Dennis, you've got a political side to you.
Well, doesn't everyone?
Well, some don't articulate it as passionately and humanely as I've heard you do it. Can you talk a little bit about how you got politics into your music? And maybe it's not fair to call it politics. What would you call it?
I don't know. You know, I don't like to spout off, and I like to think that one of the really good things about being in this country is the idea that you can believe what you want to believe. And I love the whole idea of democracy and the Constitution, and I'm a little upset to see that be eroded so far. And that's kind of what most people are good was kind of about. It's like there are a lot of people with the best of intentions who think they're being patriotic, who are being manipulated and are actually losing democracy in the process, and that just kind of annoys me. And I don't want to argue with them or anyone, but I think the more people can find out what's going on, it's just a good thing, you know. But I had an interesting experience recently, which is I pulled up behind a pickup truck that stopped at a stop sign, and I got close enough to read the bumper sticker, and I was kind of amazed by what I read, but what it said was more people have been killed by Ted Kennedy's car than by my gun. And I just thought, huh? And so I followed that guy, and I tried to catch up with him because I wanted to pull up and say, did you know that more Kennedys have been killed by guns than cars? And it just got me thinking about bumper stickers, and then within the next few days, I started noticing all these stickers that the people with the best of intentions put on their car to somehow share their feelings. And so a song I started singing in the car based on these bumper stickers, and then when I tried to figure out how to make this into a song, the chorus concept came from none other than you, Matt Kramer, when I was thinking about, as you told me about the concept of predatory leaders, and which you'll have to explain to your friends here sometime. But ever since you explained the predatory leader concept, I've had that image in my mind. So that kind of came out in this song.
And it was partly inspired by the most democratic of expressions, the bumper sticker.
Yeah. And I wanted to make the whole thing, the whole song, one bumper sticker after another, but I did kind of run out of usable stuff.
You know, Chuck Pyle's got a song like that.
Yeah?
He's got a song where he ends reading off the bumper stickers from a number of states. And it's hilarious.
He's a clever guy.
Chuck Pyle, P-Y-L-E. Folks, if you ever get a chance, look him up. He's one of America's treasures.
Yeah, he's funny.
Can you play that song?
I'll play a couple verses from this.
And if I understand you correctly, this is a world premiere of this song.
All right.
So he's pulling up his guitar in front of his telephone.
Freedom is a daughter or a son, that's
And Guitar by Dennis McGregor is our guest tonight. But you never caught up with that guy.
What guy?
The guy with the bumper sticker.
Oh, no, I didn't. I wanted to have him explain it to me, but he got away from me.
Oh. What's something you'd like people to know about yourself? I know you're a rather quiet guy here. But...
Jeez, I don't know. I could visit my website anytime and see what I'm working on, see paintings I've done and posters I have for sale, stuff like that. And I'd love to meet everyone. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to meet every person.
Yeah, when did you realize you could actually make a living with your artwork, with your graphics?
Well, that was in the 80s. I had been in a rock and roll band, acid swing group, for 12 years.
Natty Bumpo.
After dropping out of college, which was going to be just for like a semester, but then it went on and on and on. And then after 12 years, got married and had twin daughters, and I was tired of playing clubs and all that. So I really didn't have a resume. All I could say was I've been playing in a band for 12 years, stoned every night and stuff. So no one would hire me, so I just started doing jobs for friends, you know, logos, menus, things like that. And I had always known that I could draw since being a kid, you know, so I just started chipping away at it. And I still have never had a job because it went from not being able to get one to not really wanting one at some point. So now I just do a little music and a lot of illustration and design work.
I saw it recently. Somewhere I have a poster you did probably 25 or 30 years ago of beneficial insects.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. I've drawn everything from refrigerators to bugs, you know.
And a lot of folks don't know that Sisters, Oregon is the home of the largest outdoor quilt festival.
In the world. That's right.
And you did their posters for over a decade, I think.
Yeah, 14 years in a row I did those. And yeah. People come from foreign countries and all over this country for one day to see all these quilts hanging around this little town. It's quite a phenomenal thing.
All right. Well, I think one thing we didn't get to in this interview is you actually have a lot of humor in what you do.
Well,
I think we've coming to the end of our hour. I just want to mention, like on your first album, which is called Most People Are Good, I really like a song called My Dog's Brother.
Is my brother's dog.
Yeah, My Dog's Brother is my brother's dog. And
that was a true story, too.
Oh, and we didn't get around to doing I Met Somebody. If you pick up Most People Are Good, track number 7, I Met Somebody, is a very fun song. Maybe we'll do it next time we have you on.
Okay.
Well, we're going to close with what is becoming kind of an underground hit for you. Is that true?
Yeah, in some weird kind of way, it's. I never thought I would make it out of my house, to tell the truth, when I first started goofing around with it, but people do like it, and, you know.
Well, we won't explain it this time. We're just going to go out with it.
Yeah, just go ahead and play it.
So, Seth, if you're there, it's on Front Porch to the Moon. It's track number 3, Wakey Bakey.
Hey, Matt, thanks for talking with me.
Yeah, Dennis, I'm glad you were there. You took a break from building a house in this cold, snowy night.
Heck yeah. Well, I can't wait to see you sometime soon. Take care of yourself, my friend.
All right. Seth, you ready to roll?
I like to wakey bakey with the backy tobacky, feeling okey dokey all day. A little hacky sacky and a hanky panky, and a puffy woofy okay. I like to wakey bakey with the backy tobacky, feeling okey dokey all right. And then it's dranky wanky and a tokey wokey, the honky tonky tonight. But no, that's a sin. Gonna have to turn me in. Oh, what a crime. Gonna have to do my time. Because a wakey bakey with the wacky tobacco, feeling okie dokie for sure. A little hippy clippy for the ropey wokey, and tokey tokey some more. I like to wakey bakey with the wacky tobacky, feeling okey dokey, alright. Then it's roly poly with my buddy Woody and the munchy crunchy tonight. But no, that's wrong. Gonna take away my bong. Oh, it ain't right. Gonna lock me up tonight because I wakey bakey with the wacky tobacky. Feeling okie dokie, and then I get lovey dovey with the buzzy wuzzy, getting ookie wookie with the grassy lassie, and it's manja ganja with the brownie wowny, roasty toasty with the maui wowie, roll a spleefy reefy from the seedy weedy, a scooby dooby and a hokey pokey, and a wakey bakey again.